Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed day today. A lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and shall be glad in it. And I have to pray for our listeners this morning. Thank you so much for supporting us and being here for us. And it's just been absolutely wonderful. In fact, you know, it's interesting because now we have a major – the leftists are unbelievably mad. Now, we're talking the communists and the feminists because a New York Times reports that the happiest of all wives are religious conservatives. That would be your wife and my wife. And now the liberal, leftist, communist weirdos are all angry about that. The New York Times caused a mass triggering after republishing a report showing the religious conservative women are the happiest and have the happiest marriages. It turns out that the happiest all wives in America are religious conservatives, followed by their religious progressive counterparts, the New York Times reported late on Sunday. Fully 73% of wives who hold conservative gender values, which means we don't believe in like 40 different genders, and attend religious services regularly with their husbands, have high quality marriages. I'm going to repeat that, 73%. When it comes to relationship quality, is that there is a J curve in women with marital happiness, with women on the left and right enjoying higher quality marriages than those in the middle, but especially the wives on the right. So I really thought that was pretty cool because, you know, it's the thing. You know, God put us in a certain position in this world. You know, supposed to love one another with all of our heart, supposed to treat our wives like they're a princess, they're supposed to treat us like we're a king. Everybody's supposed to be getting along really, really well and really treating each other with full respect, 100%, 100% each way as far as I'm concerned, and you have a great marriage. And it's just sad to me, Austin, that these leftist women who are so miserable that they want to make everybody else miserable and they want to ridicule wives and men who go to church and who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and who are happy. And it's sad because I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to say it again. If I did not have my faith in Christ, if I did not have my faith in my afterlife of what will be next, I would have no joy in this life whatsoever. It would be just something like you'd be like living for the moment, waiting to die, dreading the death, and on and on and on. And quite frankly, that's an awful way to look at things. So I really like the fact that the New York Times is slipping up here and putting out a few stories every once in a while that actually confirms what we've known for many, many, many years, that Christianity really, really makes a huge difference in everybody's life. By the way, I want to my condolences to the tornado victims in Jefferson City in Missouri. It has caused catastrophic damage, and we have several casualties from it. And this is as state as the twisters across the state kill three, and the National Guard is called in. You know, again, this is just complete and total weather manipulation. That's all this is, and they're creating this over and over and over again, and they're doing it for a reason, because they're building a narrative of global warming and they're trying to do carbon taxes. They basically want to tax us all for breathing. That'll be the next step they're going to do. And it's just what they're going to say. And by the way, I've quoted this many times, and I want to say it one more time. Steve posted it on his website yesterday, and it says, did the CIA William, it's also posted on our website, did CIA William Casey really say, we know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false or believes is lies? And this is from Barbara Honegger. She studied at Stanford University. And she goes, I am the source for this quote, which was indeed said by CIA Director William Casey in early February 1981 meeting of the newly elected President Ronald Reagan with his new cabinet secretaries to report to him on what they had learned about their agencies in the first couple of weeks of their administration. The meeting was in the Roosevelt Room in the West Wing of the White House, not far from the cabinet room. She goes, I was present at the meeting as assistant to Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to the President. Casey first told Reagan that he had been astonished to discover that over 80% of the intelligence that the analysis site of the CIA produced was based on open public sources like newspapers and magazines. I will tell you now it's probably 80 to 90% from the Internet. As I did to all other secretaries of their departments and agencies, Reagan asked what he saw as his goal as director of the CIA, to which he replied with this quote, which I recorded in my notes at the meeting as he said it. Shortly thereafter, I told senior White House correspondent Sarah McClelland, who was a close friend and colleague who in turn made it public, Barbara Honegger. So he indeed did say this. I wanted to give you the quote and the source for this. And this is who runs our government. And this is the sad part, that everything they want to tell us is a lie. Austin, what do you think, bud?
No, absolutely. You have to continually look at what they're telling you and then look around the corners of it and figure out what they actually mean or what they're actually trying to do. And this has been ongoing for decades now with the mainstream media. And this is why we started the show. I mean, at least one of the reasons, because the lies and the propaganda have become so aggressive, especially over the last 20 years. With the inception of the internet, and that they've been using this now. Because before, you have to remember, if you really didn't want to get a lot of propaganda and rhetoric from the deep state, you just pretty much turn your television off. Really it. I mean, you pretty much can, you know, live on your own, do what you want. You don't really have to be involved with a lot of it, and you kind of just stay away from it. Well, now, with them infiltrating Hollywood for so long, with them being on the internet, with the entire electronic system that we live in now, it has become virtually impossible to not get exposed to some sort of aggressive propaganda from the deep state and the bankers now. There's no way around it, really, unless you want to go live in North Fork, Montana, completely off the grid, and pretty much hunt and trade in silver and gold, which, I mean, honestly, that would be pretty cool if I was older. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that, to be honest. I mean,
if something happens... No, Austin, look, I got to stop you. North Fork, Montana is one of the is the most remote place I've ever seen in my life. It's in the middle of nowhere in northwestern Montana. You got to go like 30, 40, 50 miles up a dirt road with 20-inch potholes and washouts all over the road, and nobody has any power, electricity up there whatsoever. Everybody lives off the grid on solar and batteries and propane. Okay, go ahead, Austin. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, yeah, but to expand on that, though, too, the nice thing about North Fork, Montana is not only, yes, is it incredibly rural, but it's not like being in some remote part of Alaska or something where you're traveling in the snow hours away from even just a small little town. North Fork still is only about, I think, 2 hours from, you know, Kalispell, Whitefish, those areas. So it's still a decent area. But anyways, I'm not trying to promote Montana. I love this state, but the entire concept of what we're talking about here is the fact that you can't really get away from mainstream propaganda anymore. So you have to try to combat it with real true news, which is what we do on this show. We try to bring you the real narrative, or at least the unbiased narrative. And of course, Dad and I are going to have some biases towards certain things, like we're going to be pro-Christianity, we're going to be pro-Constitution. And if that's not something you like, then we've pretty much already lost all the listeners that thought we were going to be, you know, a pro-gay Kenyan, pro-choice, you know, radio show, which they found out real quick that we're not. And so that is what we continue to do on this show. And speaking of that, and this has been something that I have talked about for years, as you guys know, I do not and will not support Target under any circumstances whatsoever. My wife, pretty much almost all my friends, none of us shop there at all, ever. Not since years ago when they started saying that grown men could go to the bathroom with little girls in the women's bathroom if they felt like they identified. Well, Target's taking it another step further. So, my listeners, I want you to listen to me real clear right now. If you have family, if you have friends, if you have loved ones that still support Target monetarily, you really need to get them to question their entire aspect of what they are doing as far as support. If they are, you know, at least pretty good Christians or conservatives, Target now, as you guys know, they have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to nonprofits, including one of them, NAMBLA, which has been instrumental in the Common Core program, which teaches students and teachers in grades K through 12 about sexual orientation and gender identity. It's all about the transgender expression. Now, you want to take it a step further now. That's just what they donate. So hundreds of thousands of dollars that they donate to promote this agenda. They just took it a step further. If you want to have any question of where Target stands, Target's executive vice president just released, in addition to the generous donations, Target now has begun selling its own line of LGBTQ product clothing, including kids and baby clothes. I kid you not, they have little girls and little boys' clothes, tank tops. I'm pulling up right here. Hashtag take pride shirts that say, I love my moms, plural. I love my dads, plural. Pride, take pride. I'm here to party. Now, not only is this beyond weird attire, this isn't, you know, being marketed at in a seedy adult store in downtown Tampa. This is in Target, retail chain Target locations, entire areas of the store. I'm looking in photos now, people taking photos. Full rainbow areas in the children's and youth section with full gay clothing, pro-pride, pro-transgender, basically I love my dads, I love my moms, take pride in this LGBTQZRXPUV movement, however many words or letters they want to add on to that now. If you had any question on Target's stance on this, they are not just saying, hey, a grown man that thinks he's a woman, he can go in the bathroom with a little girl and go to the bathroom and nobody's going to know what's going on in there. That's okay. We won't, you know, that's fine. We'll look past that. They're not just saying that anymore. They are now spending money and expending inventory carrying cost capital on bringing in clothing that promotes transgenderism among 3- and 4-year-olds in their clothing line. This is beyond egregious to me, and this is what I keep talking about. So many people for years have dismissed this movement and been like, oh, you know, we don't want to be bigoted towards them. You know, if they want to do it, they can do it. You can't legislate morality. And I agree with that to an extent. No, you can't come in and start saying you have to be moral. We're going to write a law that makes you moral. That's never worked. You can't legislate morality. We saw that with prohibition. It did not work. It's never worked. The war on drugs, all this stuff. When you start violating people's constitutional rights because they want to act in an egregious way in the privacy of their own home, it doesn't work. You can't do that. But the flip side of that is when you start allowing an entire movement that is completely against everything that is biblical, moral, or ethical, and you start not only allowing these people to push their agenda, you start stifling your free speech to make them happy. You then go on and you start supporting it by giving your money to companies that are selling their products. So if you shop at Target, I don't care if you go buy a doggone bag of coffee or you go there to buy an extra t-shirt, you are spending your money with a company that is doing everything in its power, not just to spread its propaganda and rhetoric in K through 12th grade about transgenderism, how it's okay for a boy to be a girl and a girl to be a boy and everything in between. You are now supporting their push in bringing in a clothing line to a single digit old generation that has no idea what they're even wearing because their parents dressed them. You are now supporting that with your funds. So I don't want to keep going on this. There's a lot of stories to go on today, but this really got me irritated today because I've seen so many people go, oh, it doesn't matter. You can shop at Target, shop at Starbucks. And these are Christian people. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, I need to get stuff from there. They got good prices. It doesn't matter. It doggone matters to me. And if you understand any type of expenditure aspect and you understand how money is fungible, you quickly understand how when you give this company money, you are directly supporting this unbelievably disgusting transgender movement, not just with individuals that want to do weird stuff in the privacy of their home. Because quite frankly, if you want to go in your home and do something weird in your bedroom, I don't care. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. Nor is it your my business what I do with my wife. However, when you start promoting this openly in the school system and then promoting it openly in retail chains and trying to force and make it cool and make it hip and make it the new trendy thing to do for 4- and 5-year-olds to run around and get lesbian, gay, transgender attire and promote that, you really, really, really need to evaluate your entire moral stance, Dad. At least that's my opinion.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for people whose main source as far as department stores in the area may be Target, but usually Target's in pretty highly demographic, high population areas.
Yes.
The biggest problem that we're going to have as Christians, Austin, is that more and more of these organizations and department stores are going to be leaning more and more and more to the left. And, you know, and so you're absolutely right. We've got to basically tell them. But more important than just not shopping there, you need to tell your friends and you need to write a letter to Target on their emails and just say, look, I'm not shopping with you guys anymore because you're doing this. If they get loose with a million letters like this, they'll realize and reevaluate what they're doing. But they're basically – this Target's so stupid, it's unbelievable. The fact that they originally said that the men could use the bathroom with little girls. I mean, the fact that they actually came out with that policy. And the problem is Target's kind of a trendy store. You know, it's a lot nicer than Walmart. There's just no doubt about that. And a lot of the yuppies and the well-to-do and the affluent, you know, like to shop at Sam's, to shop at Target. It's kind of like the equivalent of, you know, the people who basically are the upper mobile people would rather shop at Costco than they would at Sam's. And that's the problem with Target, because they do have a lot of good products as far as high-end products and more, how should I say, nicer products than other department stores do in that area as far as, you know, like with Target. But the problem with all of this is that, you know, we have to vote with our pocketbooks. You're absolutely right. That's why we thank all of you for supporting Health Masters and getting your vitamins from us. Because quite frankly, I mean, if you weren't doing that, we wouldn't be here. I mean, you say, well, I can't afford, you know, really vitamins. Well, just a multiple vitamin, you know, tube of toothpaste. Anything you can do to support our website is great. And thank you for that. Because if we don't support conservative broadcasting, if we don't support other conservatives and support conservative businesses, then shame on us. You know, Coach Dobemeyer, you know, got on a tear on an article he just wrote about how so many of us need to be out there doing more and more and more. And consumer activism is something that we all can do parts of, and we can, like you said, Austin, vote with our dollar, because it's really important that we do that. By the way, new shock poll in Germany just hit, and it said that 95% said who were polled in Germany said that Islam is not part of Germany. Well, I got a newsflash for you boys and girls over in Germany. A little bit late for that. Yeah, it's a little bit too late. Germany has been overwhelmed by Muslim immigrants who like to have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 kids, whatever they're going to do, with multiple wives, Sharia law. And it's coming to the United States. And we talked about that yesterday, about how that's being done to us on purpose, because they're trying to foment a civil war and rural unrest in the communities. By the way, a new study also just came out. Another study said that eating cholesterol and eggs does not increase the risk of strokes or heart disease. I don't know how to say this. I've said it over and over and over again. The eggs don't do that. Now, if you get dehydrated powdered eggs that have been oxidized, they're dangerous, they're not good, they're bad. That's why when you go into a restaurant, you always make sure you ask them, and same thing with hotels, do you use real eggs? Do you crack the eggs? Don't let them pour eggs out of a container. Don't let them basically mix up powder and give it to you. That's really low-quality food, and you shouldn't eat it. Make sure the eggs are from a shell. A new study from the University of Eastern Finland shows that a moderately high intake of cholesterol does not associate with an elevated risk of stroke or heart disease. Furthermore, no association was found in carriers of the APOE4 phenotype, which affects cholesterol metabolism and is remarkably common in the Finnish population. The findings were published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So again, it deals more with inflammation in eating a lot of sugar and a lot of chemicals than it does with eating cholesterol. And again, cholesterol is necessary to maintain testosterone, which helps to maintain sperm counts. And remember, sperm counts have plummeted all over the world in men because of what they're doing to us with all of the hormones they're putting in the food supply. In fact, in Switzerland now, which is a very trendy country, and they're really like into their soy products, their sperm counts like at an all-time low, and it's all about reducing the reproduction population of specific genotypes. White people. That's about as simple as I can make it. Medical alert. Oral contraceptives have once again been linked and caused cancer. Basically, oral contraceptives that are classified as carcinogenic. There were many side effects of the birth control pill, but finding out it actually could cause cancer is a problem. Does that mean everyone who's exposed to birth control pills develops cancer? Well, no, not really. It depends on what your system is. It depends on how many antioxidants you get in your system. It depends if you support your liver, you know, like with the liver support, and also different types of cancer inhibitors you can put in your body as far as vitamin A, C, E, and selenium. There are all kinds of things that you can do in order to stay healthy. There are all kinds of other birth control techniques that can be used, including of course, using condoms, which can massively reduce the risk of pregnancy. So you need to think about all that stuff before you go on oral contraceptives. Another study came out said that 98% of the Food and Drug Administration laws are unconstitutional. Surprise, surprise, surprise. 98% of the FDA laws are unconstitutional. And what's funny about this is that this has never been studied before. A large expansion of rulemakers who are not democratically accountable, which, in other words, we don't vote for these people in the Food and Drug Administration. These unaccountable rulemakers are not constitutionally authorized to issue final rules that have a force of law. But as the study showed, that hasn't stopped them. The U.S. Constitution requires executive branch officials who exercise a significant authority and discretion be formally appointed in a manner the appointments clause specifies in Article 2, Section 2. All principal officers must be nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate before they are appointed. Inferior officers must undergo the same process unless Congress by law authorizes their appointment by the president or department head. The framers specified these appointment rules to ensure that all high government officials who exercise significant power over us would be accountable to the people in a meaningful way. The Supreme Court established 43 years ago that rulemaking was one of those significant powers that only democratically accountable officers appointed in this manner could exercise. Permanent career staff in regulatory agencies have important jobs, but they are not democratically accountable to the people in this matter. They shouldn't be issuing regulatory law that governs us. The rules simply aren't valid. Now, I thought I'd mention that because the FDA is coming with a lot of crazy things, including trying to take supplements off the market, and it's being done by these unelected bureaucrats that aren't even appointed, that just have jobs, that decide they're going to rule over us. And we've talked about this before. You know, we've had people, they put up stop signs. Nobody votes on the stop signs. Nobody says there should be a stop sign here. No one's ever never takes it to a council meeting. The county or the board of commissioners or the city council just get together and say, oh, let's put a stop sign over here. Don't even think about how it affects everybody around. And maybe somebody doesn't want a stop sign. And then if you get pulled and you get a ticket because you didn't stop at that stop sign, suddenly, you know, you can get if you don't pay the fine, you end up getting arrested on your next stop and you end up going to jail. And you never, ever ask for that stop sign to be put here. That's what they're talking about with this FDA regulation, that we're not being told what needs to be. They are not allowing the people that are duly elected to make these decisions or duly appointed, but only these people that are hired into these job positions. And here's another little bit of Tavistock programming here with a little bit of problem action solution with Hegelian dialect. How Iran can strike the U.S. targets in the Middle East. Missiles, sea mines, drones, and battle-hardened jihadist militias stand ready throughout the region among mounting tensions. Isn't this the same crap that we heard with Iraq? Isn't this the same crap that we heard with Kuwait? Isn't this the same crap we heard with all of the stuff that goes on in the Middle East? The same crap we heard with Syria? We make these guys out to boogeyman. We create the problem. We tell everybody what they're going to do. Then we let the problem escalate, and then we offer a solution, invade them, put in a new central bank. It's the same thing over and over and over again, but the vast majority of the people here in the United States get caught up in the bread and circuses of all of this mess often, and they don't stop and ask, well, why would Iran attack the United States knowing that the United States would destroy them, could nuke them, wipe them off the map, take the entire government out, destroy their culture, and kill tens of millions of Iranians? Why would they do that? Well, they wouldn't do that. That's why they would use a false flag to start it. Because that way they can get their central bank in there and get us into a one world currency situation. Guys, it all goes back to those same guys again. What do you think, Oz?
Well, remember, Iran is loaded with rare earth metals, along with Afghanistan as well. Not only do they grow poppy, they just have a massive amount of rare earth metals, including ore, copper, gold, zinc, silver, all that stuff. I mean, those areas over there are just, I mean, ridden with all types of different precious earth metals, including a lot of oil. And so when you see the rhetoric, and the same thing as Dad just said, remember, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. They were going to release them on the United States. They were going to bomb us. They were going to do something to one of our allies. Remember, so we had to invade Iraq. And, of course, you know, weapons of mass destruction never existed. First, they were moved. Oh, they moved them. We couldn't find them. They moved them. And then we never found them. Oh, that's fine. We're already here. We're already invaded. Let's just go ahead and continue taking over. I mean, you look at just – and then the sad part is – you look at the cost of life to our U.S. military, who originally I was always grown up believing that the U.S. military here was to protect America. You know, as a kid, that's what you realize. You know, the U.S. military were to protect the United States, the United States. About a Freudian slip through United Nations. That's pretty much what we do now. And then we continually see just the overwhelming aggressive nature of the U.S. military. And the guys at the bottom have nothing to do with it. The grunts, I mean, the guys, infantry, the guys running around, they didn't do anything for this. I mean, they're not defending the country. They're not doing anything. They're pushing the Zionist Israel agenda. Oh, that's really what's going on. Israel doesn't like a country. They want their natural resources. They want a bank installed, so they tell the United States to attack it. I mean, look what we've done in Syria. I mean, what, a couple days, Trump goes, if Assad releases chlorine gas in Syria and gasses his own population, we're going to release missiles all over the country. A couple days later, oh, they've got a chlorine gas attack. He gassed his own civilians. And everybody goes, bomb them, bomb them, bomb Syria. And you get a step back and you go, why in the world would Assad not only do something right when he knows we're going to release Tomahawk missiles on him, but what in the world do you have any legitimate purpose doing releasing chlorine gas in a civilian neighborhood? Why would you do that? There's no logical thing. And they go, well, Assad's a monster. He's a monster, monster. We need to bomb him, bomb him, bomb him. And you go, okay, we get that. But is there any logic to your bombing, you know, brigade that you want to do? No, there's none. It's the unbelievably huge military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower said. Beware of the military-industrial complex, because where it's going to take us, there is no coming back from eventually. And that's exactly what we see. I've told you guys before, I don't agree with a lot of stuff Iran does. They're a Muslim country. I don't like Muslim religion whatsoever. I don't agree with it. It's diametrically opposed to my beliefs. But does that mean we have the right to go turn the entire country and, you know, bomb them? I don't really think so. Not to mention, Iran's huge. The loss of life that we're going to have as far as U.S. military casualties is going to be enormous if we invade them. Not to mention, Russia and China are going to get involved with it. So, just something to continually look at and understand that we are being told more lies again. Also, to another local news, this is something that really got zero coverage in Alabama, primarily because of the massive, massive propaganda that the Child Protective Services does every single year in trying to allegedly protect children, but in turn puts them in the foster programs, which have now pretty much deemed child trafficking programs. Alabama is reporting now that Brandy Murrah, owner of A&J Lab Collections in Ozark, Alabama, has been arrested as police have charged her with falsifying paternity test and drug test screenings and child custody cases. I kid you not. They don't even know how many cases that she has basically been involved in as far as she was getting kickbacks. What she was doing was, so they were coming in for parents that were trying to get their children back for Child Protective Services. She either was falsifying paternity tests, so it showed that they weren't the parents, or she was showing positive on drug screening, so they showed positive, you know, for opiates, marijuana, whatever, and they couldn't get their children back. Lying. Flat out lying on these tests, falsifying them. And what's crazy about this is she was continually used as one of the main lab collection agencies in that area of Alabama, yet she had a prior criminal record as far as she pleaded guilty and sentenced 3 years in probation for credit card fraud back, you know, in 2013, yet nobody bothered to even think a lick about that whatsoever. And sadly, we're starting to see now as she's starting to come out and saying she was doing this to get kickbacks on the backside. And across the U.S., we're seeing report after report the social workers are lying or falsifying records in order to take children out of their homes and place them in the lucrative, federally funded foster care and adoption system, which has pretty much turned into a child trafficking business now. As you guys have seen, there was an article, and I didn't really go into detail much on it the other day, but I wanted to kind of address it a little bit more now. The funds that come along with the foster program are insanely profitable. A lot of people don't know this. They're federal funds. And again, there was a bill that just got passed last week that is now essentially going to double the amount of federal funds that Child Protective Services gets in order to protect the children. Of course, that's how we hear it now. Just so everybody understands this, in foster care, the current federal reimbursement to the state and local governments for each child taken into foster care is $6,000 per month per child. That's not an exaggeration. Every child that the state puts in foster care, total reimbursements equal $6,000 a month per child. That's $72,000 a year that the state gets in total reimbursements for every child in the foster care. Now, a lot of people go, well, that sounds crazy, but they have to pay money to the foster parents as well. Oh, yes, they do. The foster care provider receives usually, on average in the United States, $600 per month. After you factor in the foster parent pay, administrative costs, each child in foster care nets about $5,000 per month to the state in net profit from federal funding. $60,000 a year in net profit for every child in foster care for every year that CPS puts them in. Whoa. Now you start getting an idea of why so many children are ripped from their homes every single year without any type of legitimate reason. Now we see why we have individuals in Alabama that are falsifying drug tests and maternity tests, blatantly lying on these tests to make sure the kids never go back to their rightful parents. That obviously, if they were having to falsify drug tests and falsify paternity tests, these parents were probably halfway decent, meaning they were their blood parents and they weren't using drugs. So in most cases, these parents probably were decent parents, in the most case. Now, there are some instances where these children do not need to be in certain homes. I mean, if you have families that are hooked on heroin and they're leaving open needles around and they have people coming in with hepatitis B and it's a drug house, yeah, the kid really doesn't need to be there. But those situations are very, very limited at best. Majority of them now we see they're being directly targeted to lower middle class parents that don't have the funding or the legal representation ability to hire a really good lawyer to get their children back as quickly as possible, and there's nothing they can do about it. And then we have parents that may have the ability to do it, and they go in and take a paternity test and a drug test, and they fail them even though they passed it, because we have individuals like this lady in Alabama who's falsifying the test to get kickbacks from Child Protective Services so they can continually push the child trafficking mantra, and they can push it through the entire country now. This is egregious to me, Dad, but it's funny. Nothing on mainstream media has reported about this lady in Alabama whatsoever, nor do you ever hear about the level of federal funding to that extent that the states get from putting children in foster care.
You know, Austin, if people knew how corrupt the system was, they would just be up in arms about it. I mean, you know, they take perfectly good homes and they rip children from those homes to increase their revenue stream. I know a friend of mine, I mentioned this years ago and I'll mention it again. He basically had an ex-employee drop a dime on him and say that he had abused one of his children, which was completely a lie because he had fired the ex-employee. And the sheriff shows up at this guy's house and basically sees that there's no abuse. And this was an upwardly mobile person. They were relatively wealthy. And the kids had plenty to eat. The kids were, you know, being homeschooled. They were in a Christian environment. And the sheriff says, there's nothing here to see. There's nothing going on here. I'm going to basically say this is nothing, that, you know, there's no investigation required. So my friend said, okay. Next day, Department of Family Services shows up right on time, sitting by the mailbox, waiting for somebody to come home. And didn't even announce they were coming, just was sitting by the mailbox. And then all of a sudden, my friend, he just unwittingly invites them into the house, like, you know, to show them that everything was fine, thinking it was no big deal. He takes about a stack of about 50 pieces of sheets of paper, tells my buddy he's got to sign it, sign every sheet that he received this. And he goes, well, I don't feel comfortable signing paperwork, but my attorney present. And the guy looked at him and goes, you can make this as easy on yourself as you want, or you make it as hard as you want. You choose which one you want right now. And the guy goes, well, this is kind of ridiculous. I need an attorney. You do what you think you need to do. And then all of a sudden he goes, we also need your last 5 years' tax returns. True story, guys. And this guy's pretty wealthy. And my buddy said, why do you need my tax returns? And he goes, well, we got to make sure you can take care of these children. And the guy looked at him and goes, that's it. Picked up the telephone, had his attorney on speed dial, picked up the attorney. Attorney said, gave the phone to the foster care guy. I had it on speakerphone, my friend said, and said, bud, he goes, have you checked the kids out? He goes, yep. Are they healthy? Yep. They're well fed? Yep. He goes, get out. Get out now. Man's under legal counsel. You have no right to talk to him unless I am present. My buddy told me the guy got up like somebody put a doggone cattle prod up his butt. Ran out the front door. True story, guys. Of course, that wasn't the end of it. This dragged on for a year and a half, according to my friend. But that was it. I mean, no paperwork ever got signed. Finally, the guy just wanted to make it go away. So I'm going to say this to you again. I told you that story in detail for one simple reason. These clowns show up at your home. You make sure that you know what your rights are, and you make sure that you have an attorney present, and you don't talk to them without your attorney present. That's so, so, so important. Last night, I was watching the movie with Tom Cruise, Jack Reacher, which is a great movie, by the way. Very first one. They're both good. And he basically had the guy, William Barr, had been accused of shooting these five people, you know, across a river at a bridge in a town. And basically, the guy didn't do it. And they bring him in for questioning, and they said, you know, you basically need to sign this. You want to make it easy. If you don't, we're going to give you the death penalty. You don't need to get an attorney. You get an attorney. We're going for the death penalty. You need to sign a confession. And the guy goes, but I didn't do it. And he then writes down the name Jack Reacher. Get Jack Reacher. Call Jack Reacher. And I thought to myself, how many people get bullied into making decisions and out of just fear, Austin, because they don't have the money for a counsel? And then a lot of times when you do get a counsel, you get an unbelievable hillbilly yo-yo bobo who basically doesn't care if he's there because it's court-appointed, doesn't want to be there, sleeps during the hearing, sleeps during the arraignment, sleeps the whole time, unbelievably bored out of his mind, cannot even imagine how he got through law school, and that's what they give you. So, guys, you need to have somebody that you know who's an attorney, who's good, and you need to have enough money set aside that in the event you need them, that you can call them, and they'll work for you and help you get through some of these legal, how should I say, pitfalls. Because, guys, what you don't want to do is get your kids caught up in a foster care system. Really, really, really important. By the way, the Daily Mail is now saying that you need to wear sunglasses in bed if you're going to be on your iPhone all night, because it says that you need special lenses to filter out blue light that could stop smartphones from ruining your sleep patterns. You know, guys, blue light from telephones is bad. And I've said this before, it really messes up your eyes and it really disrupts your sleep patterns because it really tells the pineal gland it's bright white outside and basically bright skies and it doesn't produce any melatonin. Keep your telephones away from your bed and don't be looking at the screens at night. And if you have to use a screen and you have to use a computer, turn it as brown as you can get it and get as much as the blue and get take all the blue out of it. Make it as cold as you can get it. That's what I do with my iPhones and my iPads when I work from producing, because I'm on the show. I'm working on these things for hours every single day. I noticed I was getting really bad eye fatigue, and I got rid of all of the blue. You can also get blue blockers and have blue screens blockers too, which works very, very well. Here's another article that says that diets high in cheeseburger and fries and low in veggies account for about 80,000 cancer cases a year. You know, I wanted to read this because everybody knows this, but cheeseburgers and fries, really? I mean, Sharon and I were talking the other day. We went to a restaurant. First thing we asked is, you know, what are your fries cooked in? And then we found out they're cooked in soybean oil. We said, well, we'll pass on fries because we very rarely ever eat fried foods out. But, guys, it's important that you understand when you do eat stuff out in restaurants, you absolutely have to ask what the stuff is cooked in, because you don't want the omega-6 oils like corn oil, safflower oil, and soybean oil. They're really, really, really bad for you. Here's some more propaganda from the mainstream media. Maine has measles. Outbreaks now reported in half of U.S. states as anti-vaxxers continue to fuel the spread. I'm going to read this to you again. Listen, this is the headline. This is from Daily Mail. Maine has measles. All right, oh, my God, Maine has measles. Outbreaks now reported in 25 of U.S. states, half of U.S. states, as anti-vaxxers, whether that be me and Austin, continue to fuel the spread of measles. Okay, listen to this. Health officials in Maine announced Wednesday that a child there won. A child! Oh, my gosh, Maine has measles. A child has been infected with measles. The child was vaccinated. Wait a minute. The child that got the measles was vaccinated and therefore was cleared without complications? No. The vaccine probably caused the measles. He goes, measles outbreaks have now reported in 25 states, with the majority of the 880 cases still centered around the Orthodox Jewish communities in New York City who refused to inject dead fetal tissue from human beings into their bodies. Imagine that. But they make the big headline that anti-vaxxers continue to fuel the spread as one, they don't say one in the beginning, as one person in Maine now who has fully recovered from the measles is basically saying how it is spread because of anti-vaxxers. Unbelievable. Oh, by the way, we have an update from yesterday's show on the amount of border fence that was built. Exclusive. Homeland Security, due to what happened yesterday and all the stuff being pushed out as far as a mile of border fence, finally says the Trump administration has not built 1.6 miles of border fence. It has built just 20 miles of border wall. And it's not border wall, it's border fence. And it's funding plans for another 360, despite White House claims that it's on track for 500 by next year. So, yeah, it's just not really there. And so it's interesting to me, and it said that the CBD to the money Congress gave the Obama administration for 2017 paid for 39 miles of wall, and Trump became a president in the middle of that fiscal year. So a lot of the wall that has been built was funded through the Obama administration. Guys, there's never going to be a 50-foot-tall border wall. If you want to see one of those, a really nice one, you got to go over to Israel. You'll see the border wall they built with the Palestinians. They built them a wall. I mean a real wall, like a 50-foot barrier wall. It's amazing, with gun turrets about every 100 yards. That's a real wall. That's kind of what Trump told us he was going to build to start with, but that really didn't work out well for any of us who voted for him. And, of course, there's been a plethora of basically excuses as to why that hasn't happened, but it still hasn't happened. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's definitely something that, I mean, we're probably not going to see much of it in the future. Also, to another news, since you're talking about vaccines, this is interesting. I didn't get to bring this up yesterday. I talked about it briefly the other day. Last year, you remember, the research French oncologist Dr. Gerald Deplin was published in an analysis of the HPV vaccine Gardasil showing how the vaccine actually increased the higher rates of cervical cancer. And people were puzzled. They said, you know, the whole thing that the Gardasil vaccine is about is reducing the amounts of cervical cancer. Now, ironically, even before this vaccine was even introduced, the amount of cervical cancer that was basically brought on by the human papillomavirus virus, if I'm not mistaken, it was between somewhere between 1 in 30,000 and 1 in 50,000. It was slim to rare. And then the CDC came out and retracted, and they said, oh, no, it's higher than that. It's like 1 in every 5,000 people. And then the research basically was completely bunked on that. So they came back and said, well, it's more like 1 in 20,000 people get it. They've never been able to get legitimate numbers on it because there's too many variables. Saying that you got cervical cancer and it's derived directly from a virus is very, very difficult to do because there's so many factors that contribute to cancer, as I talked to you guys about in that yesterday. The new research out of Southern Alabama now, Alabama's been doing all kinds of stuff lately, they were observing the link of increased Gardasil vaccine rates with the increased rates of cervical cancer in Alabama. Now, the researchers and medical doctors commented that it was a surprising discovery by accident that the exact opposite happened of what they expected. Unlike the mainstream media that loves to talk about the measles outbreak when one person gets the measles, nobody's talked about this whatsoever out of Alabama. Researchers studying the HPV vaccination rate in Alabama made a surprising discovery. Counties with higher rates of HPV-related cancer also had the highest HPV vaccination rates, according to the researchers presented at the Society of Gynecology Oncology annual meeting at Women's Cancer. They went on to say the data showed little difference in the HPV vaccine uptake between urban and rural countries, between affluent and poor ones. But what they did found was the exact opposite of what they expected, said Dr. Jennifer Pierce. We found that the higher rate of cancer in the county had the highest rate of vaccinations for Gardasil. The research was one of 12 studies accepted at the presentation of the national meeting. Researchers expected to find lower vaccination rates in rural counties with fewer physicians, but they really found no significant change whatsoever. The only direct correlation that they found was the areas with the highest HPV-induced cervical cancer, they claim, were the areas with the highest Gardasil vaccination, meaning the Gardasil vaccine doesn't work. And this is what Dr. Gerard came out with last year, and we talked about in detail. I mean, it was huge. It was groundbreaking. And, of course, mainstream media, everybody said, oh, that's not true. That's not factual. They came out and said, listen, we did the research. This Gardasil vaccine is actually causing HPV-induced cervical cancer. What they're injecting into their bodies is causing these girls to get cancer. At the very least, they're getting Guillain-Barre syndrome. They're having paralysis. They're having all these autoimmune disorders. They can't function. They're super sick. I mean, that's just across the board. We've seen tens of thousands of cases of that globally from the Gardasil vaccine. We even saw in Japan where they started refusing, I mean, huge groups started refusing to allow their children in entire schools to get the HPV vaccine. Now, ironically enough, you guys remember when I talked about last week, is that dentists, like dentists that clean your teeth, are now going to be licensed in Oregon because of the new bill they passed. The dentist will now be licensed to administer vaccines. Ironically enough, the two vaccines that they're going to be allowed to be administering is the MMR vaccine and the HPV Gardasil vaccine. Why is it that we see such a push for these two vaccines, yet these two vaccines have been riddled with controversy and negative side effects for years and years and years and years on end? I mean, I'm talking thousands of eyewitness accounts that have either gotten it, or their families have gotten it, or their children have gotten it, and had debilitating consequences, if not death. Yet nobody wants to talk about this. And it, you know, I hate the term anti-vaxxer. I've been hearing that a lot lately. I've gotten arguments with people, and they call it, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer. I'm really not. I understand how vaccines work in some cases, and I understand the ability and need for them in some cases. I talked to a really, really educated medical doctor years ago, and I was talking to him about vaccines. He wasn't anti-vaccine. He was anti-dirty vaccine. He was pro-clean vaccine. And I said, well, how have we gotten ourselves in this situation to the point now that we have all these vaccines, and they're so filthy? I mean, they have the aborted fetal cell tissue. They got polysorbate 80. They got formaldehyde. They have massive amounts of aluminum. The flu shot still has mercury. And he goes, well, you already know it's from the 1986 Vaccine Protection Act. And I said, well, why is it, though, that we see all these vaccines that in most cases aren't even working? And better or less, they're having all these health problems, but they're for diseases like chicken pox now. I mean, we've got chicken pox vaccines. And he goes, because it makes money. He goes, understand, the old research, the old philosophy, the old ideology with doctors and chemists and scientists, it was always for a vaccine to be needed, it had to be highly contagious, even among the most random areas, highly contagious, and it had to have an incredibly high fatality rate. So it was very easy to catch that disease, and it had a huge death rate associated with it, regardless of the scope of where you went. So it didn't matter, you know, if you were in Central Florida, or you were in Montana, or you were in New York. It was incredibly easy to catch this disease, and it had a very, very high death rate. He goes, the problem is, hardly any of the current vaccines on the schedule actually fall into that category. He goes, one of the only ones that I agree with is the tetanus vaccine. He goes, if you get that one, you need to get a single dose tetanus only. You don't need the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, DTaP vaccine all in one. Because quite frankly, most of those are incredibly hard to even contract. And in cases like the measles, very few people ever die from the measles, if ever. Now that we have actually a healthy society, we have good sanitation habits, and we have good medical treatment when you get sick, and we have all the different access to things that we can get to, we get to a good hospital, the likelihood of dying from the measles is slim to none. Yet they're pushing the measles vaccine in conjunction with the mumps and rubella all in one. And again, it goes back to what we talked about, the mumps. Mumps has been more of an epidemic than the measles ever was, even currently, right now. Tens of thousands of people across the country have got mumps. What they don't tell you about is mumps, once you get it as an adolescent or a teenager, in most cases in men, it makes you sterile. You can do the research on it. Look it up. You don't have to believe me. Look it up. And they also found, too, that the MMR vaccine only had about a 2 to 3 year protection rate on the mumps. They found that after 2 to 3 years, if you got exposed to the mumps at all, you actually had a higher chance of contracting the mumps because of the vaccine wear off. So you had to continually get the MMR vaccine over and over and over again. Well, if you already are immune to the measles because you've already had it, you don't need a measles vaccine, and rubella vaccine, the likelihood of getting that are slim to none. So there's only one way to get and keep the mumps from getting it. It's continually get the MMR vaccine over and over and over and over and over again. And then in other cases, they found that the MMR vaccine did nothing to prevent people from getting the mumps long term. So these are the things you have to ask yourself these questions. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not a, oh my gosh, every single vaccine that's ever been invented in the history of mankind is horrible. I would never use it. I'm not like that at all. I understand how they work, and in some cases, they can be very effective. But what we have seen now with the corruption of the medical industrial complex, and then on top of that, providing the vaccine manufacturers carte blanche immunity to produce some of the most toxic vaccines with literally some of the most toxic compounds known to man. Mercury, thimerosal. Mercury is one of the most toxic elements to a human being. Period. It's right up there with lead. Yet it's injected in the flu vaccine every single year, and people don't even bat an eyelash. They just take it because they're told to take it. Use your brain and do your research. If you decide you want your child to have vaccines, that's your choice. If you want to do delayed, if you want to do a couple of them, if you want to wait later on until you can do more research, that is your right to do so. But I'm so tired of people automatically criticizing me and people I know that are pro-clean vaccine for immediately being anti-vaxxers. You're a horrible parent. You're a derelict father. I've heard it all before. I've heard all types of unbelievably disrespectful comments because I question the mainstream narrative when it comes to vaccines. That doesn't make me a bad father. That makes me a concerned father about what's getting injected into my child. That should make you question the mainstream narrative. If we've reached a point now in society where we can't even question the mainstream narrative, we live in a tyrannical dictatorship. That is communist China. When you no longer have the right to ask a question, a simple question about a very, very simple topic. What is in my vaccine? As I mentioned before, in Australia, billboard got put up. What's in my vaccine? Or what's in a vaccine? Question mark. Billboard was taken down in days. In days, Prime Minister called it rubbish, called it filth, said this will not be allowed in our country. What did he say? He went on a statement and said, never vaccinate your children. You should never get a vaccine under any circumstances. I've never made a comment like that, and I never will. Billboard didn't make a comment like that either. It simply said, do you know what's in a vaccine? Question mark. Simple question, yet so many people get so angry and so defensive. And the funny part is, most of those people don't even know what's in the vaccine, even though they get irately mad at you when you ask them that simple question. That is the irony of the entire situation, Dad.
Well, you're thinking. You're not supposed to think, son. I mean, you know, you're actually saying, well, is this stuff going to be healthy for me, or is it not going to be healthy for me? Well, you can't ask that question. See, you got to understand something. You're just an animal to these people. You're a cow to be vaccinated. I think one of the local terms they use is goyim. They see you as an animal, a soulless creature, a soulless beast, and you're part of the herd and part of the animal population of the planet, and you've got to be maintained and culled. And that's how they look at us. And see, and that's why we always talk about that on the show, but nobody else wants to touch that topic at all because, oh my God, you can't talk about that. But it's just that these are the ruling people. These are the ones that control the banking systems. These are the people that control the it's a hierarchy priesthood is what it is. And that's made up of a bunch of fanatics. And it's a priesthood. It's a satanic priesthood. And, you know, but I don't have time to talk about that today. And a really good article by, it's called Deep Spiritual Crisis, Scandinavian Woman Exposes the West's Problem. And it says the following brief but highly informative interview, and I've put it on our website, but I posted it, talks about what's happened in Norway. It says, both women are to be commended for raising many important points in this interview. The general theme of the episode was that Western values have become almost entirely materialistic in essence because pure materialism is ultimately dissatisfying. Man shall not live on bread alone. More and more Western people are turning to any number of metaphysical ideologies, including New Age teachings and Islam and paganism and Satanism. Anything as long as it's not Christianity. Because many of these ideologies are intrinsically hostile to Christianity, Western culture, which was founded on Christian principles, has become suicidal, hence the current situation, especially in Europe. Goes on to say, quote, "You cannot understand the world from a political point of view only. We are in a spiritual warfare and not just a political struggle. It has become a taboo to speak about religion due to this anti-religious ideology, anti-Christian ideology, that claims that religion has no value as long as we may remain in this spiritual crisis." She goes, "I don't think Europe will be able to defeat Islam. The reason why Islam is so successful here is because we have a spiritual vacuum." What she's saying is because Christianity has evaporated, Islam has taken over, and hundreds of thousands of people in Norway and throughout Europe now are converting to Islam because it's providing a type of religious expression for these individuals who have become disenfranchised with Christianity, and that's why Christianity has been pushed out. Guys, the only way they can bring the Antichrist in, the only way they can do this is to get rid of Christianity. They try to tell us all in the United States, don't worry about this, it won't happen to you, you're not going to be under the Antichrist because you're going to get raptured. That's what they did it here. That's how they defanged the Christian church here. But in Europe, they took a different route. They just made it so they taxed everybody who went to church, so everybody stopped going to church, and now Islam has taken over because it left a spiritual vacuum. Excellent video. You guys need to watch it. It's on my website. Guys, I appreciate you. I love you so much. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thanks again for listening to the show today. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It means so much to us. It's like $25, $30 a month to get multiple vitamins from us, and it supports the show, provides funding for the show, and it allows us to do a commercial free broadcast. Again, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I had the privilege of praying for you today, and it's always my pleasure and my privilege to do that. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for the continued support, and be sure, please, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Got a lot of different articles we've been pumping out every single week now, just trying to get as much health information as we can out there. And be sure to check out the product of the week, the Alpha Lipoic Acid, which won yesterday. There was all kinds of battles as far as on that product of the week voting. That was interesting. A lot of people were wanting a lot of different stuff. Alpha Lipoic Acid ended up winning at the last minute, and really important product. You guys have ever looked at it before. Is essentially a water and fat soluble antioxidant, and what it's designed to do is not only to help glutathione levels, to help blood sugar levels, it also supercharges vitamins like vitamin C and vitamin E. So what I mean by that is if you're taking, say, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C and you're taking 2,000 IUs of vitamin E, when you take alpha lipoic acid with it, it actually amplifies the ability for your body to absorb those and use them. So it's a potentially like taking 3,500 or 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C or 2,500 IUs of vitamin E. It makes the body assimilate it and process it and digest it essentially and utilize it more efficiently. Really, really cool product. The biggest thing you always find with alpha lipoic acid, though, is an incredibly short half-life. When you take alpha lipoic acid raw by itself, it only has about a 30 to 45 minute half-life gone. So what we did with this formula, and this is why it's been so popular, it's a controlled release tablet. So it's designed to release spurts of alpha lipoic acid throughout the system for about 6 to 7 hours. So you can take one tablet twice a day and literally get a trickle of ALA throughout the system all day to continually increase the efficiency of your other supplements, help out with blood sugar and glucose metabolism, and also to continually get the proper as far as free radical protection. So we just wrote an article on the website. If you want to read more on it, be sure to check it out. Product of the week, over 10% off on the website, healthmasters.com. We thank you guys. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.